following message was given by brothers Timothy Hong and Frank Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 14th, 2019. The title of the message is Living Christ for the Reality of the Body of Christ. Scripture reading, Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, Romans chapter 8, verses 2 and 4, Romans chapter 9, verses 21 through 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.
That's vessels.
Amen.
To contain you, to receive you.
Amen.
Oh, even vessels of mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, we can be here, it's your mercy.
Amen.
Oh, read your word or listen to your word.
Amen.
Oh, do speak to us.
Amen.
We live by your word. But every word proceeds out of your mouth.
Amen.
As our nourishment,
Amen.
As our enjoyment.
Amen.
We also pray you will cleanse us with your blood.
Amen.
Cover us.
Amen.
Defeat your enemy.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Since we have come to the last message of the conference, this 2019 Chinese Speaking New Year Conference. And also, yesterday we just finished the training, the video training on the second part of the book Numbers. So it's both kind of a concluding word. So this morning we will have this sharing will have two parts. So I'll share the part which is concerning living the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles of the body, which is the subject of the conference. And Brother Frank will give us a little foretaste on the life training, he was in the life training. So some of the things in the video training. So he will give us a little foretaste, because eventually we'll review all the messages. So this morning I will just start, give a little concluding word on, and also on the last week, what we covered concerning living Christ for the reality of the body of Christ. We saw the whole conference was concerning living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles, of the body. So concerning the body, there are some principles. So for us to have a living in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to keep those principles. If we violated those principles, then we are not living in the reality of the body of Christ. So these principles are, in fact, very precious. When I went over them, I was very thankful, you know. I got saved, became a Christian. To me, the church was the building, you know. That was my initial understanding. Of course, later on, I realized the church is not just the building. In fact, the church is not the building, because the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's something living. Of course, from the building to the body of Christ, there are others. Points or other status of the church to reach the body of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, we see very clearly that Paul mentioned, used the word church as the gathering of the called out ones. So this morning, we are gathering because the Lord has called us. According to the definition of the word church, this is the church, the gathering of the called-out ones. But according to Ephesians, there are other definitions concerning the church. Like the church is the house of God, and the church is not only the house of God, that God dwells in his house. The church is also the household of God. That means all his family. You know, we enjoy that we have a Heavenly Father. We all are. He was the only begotten. But now he is the firstborn. He's the firstborn, so there are many bones, and that's us. You know, we are here as the many sons of God, to our God the Father, and also many brothers to the firstborn Son of God as our elderly brother. So these are part of the definition status of the church. And also the church is the kingdom of God, is a place God rules, God in his kingdom, he can bless us. Then there are other definitions concerning the church. The church is the new man, the church is the bride, the church is the corporate warrior, and also the church is the body of Christ. So we see this matter of the body of Christ is very clearly mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. Toward the end of the Ephesians 1, it mentioned about the church, which is his body. That means the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So we see in the universe, there is such a matter that is the body of Christ. You know, there was a song in the universe, in the universe, right? There's one body. So we see this matter is very clear revealed in the New Testament. Concerning concerning the body, the reality of the body of Christ, the first message was on that, but I won't go into that. But there are the principles. I just kind of go through a little bit. The principle of the body is the oneness of the body. In other words, body cannot be divided. If my hand is cut off, the body is incomplete. So the body is one. And this oneness is the oneness of the triune God. And this oneness is also the triune God mingle with us, because it's the oneness of the body. You mentioned in Ephesians, there's one body, one spirit. Then there's one Lord and one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So we see very clearly the oneness is concerning not just the one body, but also one law, one spirit, and one God the Father. So all these are very clear to reveal to us that we should have such a view. Even though we are meeting here in the church in New York City, and we have more and more brothers and sisters meeting in different meeting halls, but the church in New York City is not the entire body. It's a part. So all the churches on the earth, even from the very beginning to the future, all together compose the body of Christ. So for us, we should be enlarged. You know, we have a few saints from Taiwan. I don't know which city you came from.
Taipei.
There was a mother and a daughter came from Tainan. One is, Taipei means north. Tainan means south. So one from south, one from north. We have other saints, you know, every week they visit us. They all are part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we should, brother mentioned, we should not be local Christians. Christians should be enlarged. Even not state is not big enough. Or one country is not big enough. We are a body conscious Christian. So we should be enlarged that our God is universally great. So we need to have this realization. So some of the principles I mentioned, the first one was concerning the oneness of the body. And the second was concerning the function of the body. I thought, you know, we are the church. The church is the body of Christ. Not only the universal church. You know, church has two aspects, universal church and local church. According to Paul's word, even the local church, he addresses as the body. Because in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul was telling the Corinthians, you are the body of Christ. How can a local church be the body of Christ. Because the church, a local church, is the expression of the body of Christ. So we see that this matter is great. On the other hand, it's very practical. So we all should be enlarged. There are some saints, they are in Ohio, I think in Fairborn. They are attending the church meeting, Lord's Day meeting, and Lord's Table in Fairborn. And so we are part of the body of Christ. Amen. So we can go to different places, and we are part of the body. Amen. They are not strangers to us. And we are not just in the same family, we are in the same body. Amen. We are members of one another. Amen. So I hope that all these speakings eventually will enlarge each one of us. We should also, if the Lord gives the opportunity, to visit other places. The upstate, we have, including us, there are 7 churches. So we can visit them. And also summer, sometimes you travel, please visit the churches. Enjoy them for the Lord's Day and have the Lord's Table. So this is the matter of the principle of the body, the oneness. The second is the function. The function of the church, I thought the function of the church is to bring unbelievers. Sometimes we have unbelievers coming even to the Lord's Table meeting, and that's wonderful. So the church is functioned to bring the good news to the unbelievers, and there are other different aspects concerning the church. In different aspects, I won't go into the detail, but the function of the church. If you read the verses when we cover the week 2, the function of the church is to be the expression of Christ. I don't know whether you have this thought or not. When over the message, it wasn't in my thoughts. Because the church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Amen. And this fullness is an expression. So firstly, for us Christians, even individual Christians, we should be the expression of Christ, so that the church can be the expression of Christ. Amen. So I feel it's very enlightening to all of us. And following that we need to experience the work of the cross, and we need to have a living in the unique fellowship of the body of Christ. We have one bread and one cup, and yet we all are part of this one bread. Of course, the bread signifies the Lord's body. When the Lord passed on the bread to the disciples, he said, "This is my body." So this bread typifies the Lord's physical body. But on the other hand, this bread also signifies the mystical body of Christ. So Paul mentioned that we all have fellowship in the blood of Christ and also in the body of Christ. So this is the unique fellowship. So any place we go, that bread should testify that in this universe, the Lord has one body. That's why we care very much that we need to discern ourselves. Sometimes some bread is not the oneness, not testifying oneness, but rather is a bread, dividing God's children. And we should not have a part in that. So these are the matters concerning the principle of the body. And the principle of the body also including that we all are in the body, we receive the supply from the body. That all of us, we have need, and sometimes I heard the saints testify when they were in some kind of situation, suddenly they realized there was some strengthening. Amen. And that strengthening was from the body. Amen. Even Paul, when he was in jail, right? He was in Roman jail. He was very limited, but he said the situation will turn out to his salvation. Amen. Through your petition. and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The bountiful supply came to him through the prayer of the saints. So in the body, we all care for one another. We all should pray for one another, you know. Sometimes, not everyone knows everyone's situation, but some, closer to you, and you know it, it's good that we pray for one another, because we all are in the body. So we see the supply. While we're living in the church life, a Christian life, we have supply from the body, and we also are the members of the body. We are members of one another. And members should have mutual care for one another. And members should not step on one another, right? Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes when you chew things, I bite myself, you know. That is members not helping one another. So in the church life, we all have our portion. Every member has his portion or her portion, and we should just function according to our portion. Then we don't step on others. That everybody function, then there will be the beauty of the body. Amen. So we see these are the principles concerning the body. And also we went over that the body restricts us, you know. Quite often, I myself also experience, you know, sometimes in the church life, we serve, we do things, and the other brothers and sisters, they have a different feeling. That become a restriction. Sometimes, you know, right away we may react. But if we calm down, go to the Lord will shine on us, realizing maybe our way serving, our intention is good, but we didn't see the whole picture. You know, the other thing, they see the need in a different angle. So all this shows that these are the principle of the body that we need to keep them. Okay, now we come to the last week. Last week was concerning living Christ for the reality of the body of Christ. When I read that title, I thought, okay, so we had the other principles, and now we come to the last one. Last one is living Christ. Living Christ is one of the principles. But when I go into it, I kind of have the realization, all the other principles are included in this one, living Christ. In other words, if you live Christ, you have the oneness in the body with all the saints. If you live Christ, then you will have the experience of the cross of Christ, and you will have, you will be in the unique fellowship of Christ. And if you live Christ, then you will have the supply from all the members, and also have the be a functioning and a proper member in the body, and also have the limitation. There's an expression that is the highest consummate and the commandment is for New Testament Christians not to do many other things, but rather is to live Christ and walk in the Spirit. That's the only commandment, because when I was thinking about the principle of the body, I tried to keep, then in fact, the real is not by our efforts, rather it's just as long as we live Christ, all those will be fulfilled. That's why we had the verses in Romans concerning the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this is Broadly said, this is the highest discovery in the world, that for us, that today, in all of us, there is this, the law of the Spirit of life operating in us. In other words, this law of the Spirit of life is just the very God, the triune God, went through all the process and eventually installed into us. Just like electricity, you know, we usually turn off during the night, but in the morning when it's getting outside still, you know, if we turn off, here will be dark. So we turn on the switch. So we Christians, there's only one requirement for us to do. That is to turn on the switch. Let the law of the Spirit of life operate in us. And that law of the Spirit of life will do everything for us. I think we all heard this before. This is living Christ. If you ask me, I will tell you, I tried. It works, but a lot of time, you know, I was not letting the law of the Spirit of life operating, because I was trying to do something out of my good intention, my efforts, then it didn't work. So Brother Lee also mentioned that to have the law of the Spirit of life to work, we need to keep the switch on. In other words, it's like the fan, you know. So, I don't know whether you have a fan in your home. Recently has become very hot. You have to keep it plugged in. Whenever the fan maybe has doing a great job, but whenever you unplug it, it stops. So the law of Spirit life is the same thing. We need to keep the plug in. And with this, it has two wires. One is antenna wire, which is the Spirit. And the other wire is the ground wire. That is the Word. So we need the Word, we need the Spirit. On top of this, there's another requirement. That is, we need to be open. We will not come up with this phrase, what I'm going to say. That is, broadly said, Paul's 14 epistles eventually comes down to only two words. That is, open vessel. Open vessel. You know, we are vessels. I think we all realize that. But are we open? I think come to this point, I receive a lot of shining. A lot of time, we're not so open. We're not so open. We want to do something, and even between the spouse and the spouses, you know, one want to do something good for the family, good for the household, and everything. But somehow you hit a wall because the other party may have a different feeling. If none is open, we have a problem. The Lord's been shining on me. Need to be open. We all need to be open. You will be surprised. You know, I experienced that. You know, I said something. In fact, with all the good intention, but I hit the wall. Then I didn't speak right away. I just kind of calmed down. I just checked with the Lord a little bit. It's very interesting. When we, you know, I wasn't insisting anything. I was by the Lord's mercy, to be open a little bit. The outcome is not according to my thought. Neither is according to someone else's thought. The outcome is the Lord's doing. That there was a surprise. But anyway, I just want to mention this to you that thank the Lord. We are in the New Testament. The only thing the Lord wants us is to be an open vessel. Amen. The only thing the Lord wants us to do is to walk in the Spirit, to take care of the Spirit inside of us, because this law of the Spirit of life has been installed into us when we believe in the Lord. So we just need to enjoy the Word and walk in the Spirit and pray, be watchful. You know, whenever I realize when something happened, and there's some situations, it was I was not watchful. I was not watchful. So in Colossians, in the morning watch verses, it mentioned persevere in prayer and watching unto it. So we all need to be watchful, because every one of us, quite often, we are, there's a word, sleeping. Our senses are in sleep. Sometimes our psychological senses are in sleep. That means we are not conscious. Sometimes our spiritual senses are sleeping, it's dormant. All these causes, when situation comes, we were not ready. So we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. I'm learning a little bit. While I'm coming up, I'm praying for after I sit down. So we all need to pray. Pray for what we're going to do in the afternoon, what we're going to do the rest of the day. When we are watchful, when we pray, let me tell you, the Lord is able to lead us. We can be the open vessels. Let the Lord fill us, lead us, bless us, so we can live Him. The Lord wants us to live Him. Sometimes it's so difficult, Lord, I end up living myself. But this is the Lord's desire. So we just say, amen, Lord, give me practice. Practice living Christ. Enjoy you as our portion. Amen. I'll just stop here and let Frank to continue.
Praise the Lord, saints. So as Brother Timothy mentioned, that I enjoy something from the recent video training on the book of Numbers, and I would like to just begin by sharing what I enjoy. I know many saints who have participated in the training also have enjoyed many portions, and they can't wait to share their portion with all of us. So I don't want to take too much time. But Christian life is a journey. We don't just believe in the Lord and wait to go to heavens and then do our own business during our life on the earth. When we receive the Lord Jesus came into us to be our life. So our Christian life is a life of getting to know the Lord and to walk with the Lord. But this journey, as we will see from the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, are not an individual journey. Eventually, all of our journey ends up in a corporate expression or a people of God that has been called out of the world, built together as the body of Christ to fully express Him and carry out what He desires. So I was very helped to see from the picture in these Old Testament books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, how God call people out of Egypt, not because they don't have anything to do or they can't make a living. This mass exodus of people, of the children of Israel, is not because they couldn't make a living out of Egypt, but because God, who called them out, has a purpose. And He led them through the wilderness, reveal Himself to them through the law as a picture, as a description of who He is. Also show them the design of the tabernacle, which is a picture of His dwelling place. And eventually, God's desire is to lead them through the wilderness into the good land. And as we come to the beginning of the book of Numbers, so I would like to share two things from the book of Numbers, one from the beginning and one toward the end. One is concerning how God formed them and formed His people into an army. And the other point is concerning not to receive what God has allotted to us according to God's choice and not according to our choice. Now in Numbers chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, they're at a juncture where God is about to form them into an army. But there is certain qualification. In verse 2 says, well, actually, from the end of verse 2, it says, the number of names, every male, head by head, for 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go forth for military service in Israel. So in order for you to be among God's people, you just have to be an Israelite. So in our term today, to be a Christian, you just have to receive the Lord. If you have the Lord living in you, you are a Christian. You are among the people of God. But in order for us to live in the reality of the body of Christ, or in this picture, to be in the army fighting for God's interests, there's a need to reach an age of 20, and you have to be a male. Male in the Bible signifies stronger ones. So for us to reach the spirit to age of 20, so what does this picture show us? This is one point that I really enjoy. That spiritually, for us to reach the age 20 is for us to be strong in spirit, signified by the male, and to have certain kind of maturity. So we're in a process that we're growing in the divine life, and we need to reach this age 20. And during the training, one of the message, the brother had one point concerning reaching the age 20 is to for us to pass through the three stages of the experience of life and to enter into the fourth stage of the experience of life. Now you say, what are these stages of life? These stages of life are from this book, The Experience of Life, which is a classic among us. So if you have not read this book, I highly encourage you to read this book, The Experience of Life by Brother Witness Lee. And what are the four stages of the experience of life? Let me just read a little bit on the introduction. According to our experience, these four stages may be designated as follows. The first stage may be called the salvation stage. The second, the revival stage. The third, the stage of the cross. And the fourth, the stage of spiritual warfare. But according to our relationship with Christ, these four stages should be designated in this way. The first stage, in Christ. The second stage, abiding in Christ. The third stage, Christ living in me. The fourth stage, knowing the body, spiritual warfare, and living in Christ's ascension. So the first stage is when you, through regeneration, you are in Christ. So if you have received the Lord, you are in Christ. If anyone have not yet received the Lord, it's very easy. You just believe. You just call out to the Lord, oh, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I need you. Once you receive the Lord into you, you are regenerated. The Lord comes into you as life. And you need to deal with your past. So that's the first stage. The second stage is the stage where we started to deal with our conscience. The Lord in you now bothers you in your conscience, and you consecrate yourself to the Lord. You deal with sin. You deal with the world. You deal with many things that are not compatible with the divine life that you have received. Then the third stage is the stage that you started to deal with yourself, with the flesh, and with your natural constitution. These are a little higher. Now, these stages doesn't mean that once you're in stage three, you don't need stage two. We still need to deal with our conscience. We still need to deal with sin and deal with the world. But we must go on in our experience of life in order to mature in the divine life. You know, to be mature in the divine life, one of the prerequisites is that we continue to grow in the divine life. If we stop growing, then we're not at the spiritual age of 20. So we have to continue to grow until we have certain kind of maturity. So this third stage is to deal with the self, with the flesh, and with the natural constitution. And this stage is where many of us are at right now. And I really appreciate that we're getting into these messages concerning living in the reality of the body of Christ. Because without knowing that you need to deal with yourself, with your flesh, with your natural constitution, there's no way for you to live in the body life. You may be a very good Christian, enjoy the Lord's blessing, enjoy the Lord's presence. But if you don't deal with yourself, if the self is still in the way, there's no way for us to have the reality of the body of Christ. So I appreciate this point very much, that we should not be, quote, stuck in the stage three. That is, not willing to allow the Lord to deal with ourselves, to deal with our flesh, and to deal with our natural constitution. We must go on. We must go on to allow the Lord to deal with us. And just share a little experience recently. Today, actually, I wasn't planning to be here because I was thinking about helping the college students who go to the college training in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois. And they're there last night in Fairborn, and that's why they're in the Fairborn Lord's Table meeting this morning. So originally, I was planning to help them, to drive them to go to this training. And that's certainly not something sinful and not something bad, something actually very good. But then as we proceed with the arrangement, then it seems that I don't need to drive. I am not going to the college training, so I was just thinking of going and then coming back somehow, flying or taking the bus. But eventually, it seems that there is no need for me to do that. So there was still some thought of maybe helping them to drive halfway, something. And it was, you know, to me, this is not something that I am doing myself, right? I don't consider this myself. This is just my service. I thought this is my service. I am here serving the Lord by driving these college students. But eventually, as we go on, the Lord just spoke to me. That heart, that intention is very good, but many of what you're planning to do are actually not what I want. It's a self. It's a flesh. It's a good flesh. So the flesh we're talking about here is not the flesh that drinks, that does all the evil sins. It's the flesh that wants to please God. And as we're in the church learning to serve the Lord, many times our flesh may come up. Oh, I want to serve this way. This is probably what's the best way for us to serve the Lord. And we have no realization many times that this is something of our flesh or from ourself or from our natural constitution. So praise the Lord for the Lord's mercy, for him to show me. So eventually I had some feeling that, you know, what I was planning to do, it's probably not what the Lord wanted. It's something of myself. And later also, a sister also said, well, why don't you just do this, make it a little simpler? Originally I thought, you know, my first reply was, well, I don't mind driving. You know, I actually like driving. I know there's a lot of driving involved, but I like driving. But the moment I spoke that word, the Lord spoke to me. Yeah, that's what you like. That's yourself. So I inwardly had to shut up and just, Lord, amen. Whatever, you know, I'm grateful that I'm under the enlightenment, that I can know that this is not something that pleases the Lord. Where else can you find that but in the church life? So saints, we are in the church life. Let us not preserve ourselves. Let us deny ourselves and allow the Lord to deal with ourselves so that the church can be built up, so that the army can be formed, so that we can all reach this spiritual age of 20 so that we can be formed into God's army. Then the other point that I really enjoy from the book of Numbers is from Numbers chapter 32. We didn't put the verses because there's so many verses from book of Numbers that the saints enjoy. So for those of you who plan to share something, don't be bothered if you don't find the verses here. Just share what you enjoy from the training. But in Numbers 32, they're about to enter into the good land because the army is formed, and the Lord had asked Moses to start to arrange the allotment or the distribution of the good land among the 12 tribes. Now, our God is a very orderly God. So even before they go into the good land, the Lord, Jehovah had decided to prearrange how to distribute this good land to his people. But 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they came to Moses with a request. And they said, the land that we just conquered east of Jordan is a good land. And let me go back to that a little bit. You know, the good land geographically is a high lifted ascended land. It's a land with high elevation, but it's bounded by the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. So it's a high land, it's a land high in elevation, but it's bounded by three body of waters. So spiritually, this signifies that the land, which is a picture of the all-inclusive Christ that the Lord wants, that Jehovah wants to bring us into, must be, or in order to enter into that land, you have to cross river. And this is exactly how the Lord led his people, to cross the Jordan River to enter into that land. So spiritually speaking, in order for us to experience and enjoy Christ as our all-inclusive land, we have to go through the death of Christ. We need to allow the death of Christ to deal with everything negative within us. Now, not just sin, not just the world, but also ourself, our flesh, and our natural constitution. So in order to enjoy Christ, you have to cross the Jordan. In order to get into this land, you have to cross the Jordan River. But this two tribe, they came with a request. We will just take the land east of Jordan. It's very good for our livestock, and we have a lot of livestock. And in verse 5, there's this phrase that really touched me. In Numbers 32:5, they say, "If you have found favor in your sight, that this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not make us cross over the Jordan." So they didn't go across the Jordan. They saw, well, this river, right? The land here is great for our livestock. Let's just settle down here. Moses was not happy, because Moses said, "Why are you doing this? By doing this, you are discouraging your brothers from crossing the River Jordan. And why are you doing this, for your own interests?" And then these two tribes says, "Well, just let's settle our youngs and our cattle here and livestock here. We, the men of war, will go and fight with you. And then once we finish the fighting, we'll come back." So because of this suggestion, Moses allowed them or permitted them to do this. Now, when I first read this from the Bible, I thought this is very heroic, right? They fought for their brothers and they came back. But through this training, I saw that actually their request for the land was not a bad request, because this is what God wants to give them. God wants to give us the land. God wants us to enjoy him. But we have to be willing to go through the death of Christ and not to hold on to our own choice. They, in a sense, picked their land based on their choice and not according to God's choice, but according to their choice. And this is something very practical as we're living in the church life today. Brothers and sisters, let's not hold on to our own choice. You know, we're here learning to coordinate, serve with one another. Let's not hold on to our own choice. Your choice may be, you know, sometimes we coordinate with the brothers. Some brothers are a little older, from the 60s. I'm from the 80s, I believe. There's some brothers who are from the millennials, from the millennial generations. So sometimes we may have some suggestions, some choice to do something, and other brothers may have different suggestions or different view of how to take care of the church. Don't just say, well, you're from the 60s, you know. Now is the, we're in the 2019, right? So, or don't think the younger brothers don't know anything. I'm more experienced. I'm in the church a little bit more. Don't serve the Lord with our own choice. And don't care. Don't just choose based on what we see is the best. You know, the choice here is not good or bad. They didn't choose something bad, but they choose something that's second best. Actually, what the Lord wants to give us is the best. Our choice is always the second best. But the problem is when you choose, you may not know what you're choosing is the second best. You know, we as parents always want the best for our children, right? We want to choose the best for them. But do you know what is the best for them? You know, through this point, I really have to admit, I don't know what's best for my children. What I am choosing for them might be the second best. So when through fellowship in the body, or also through fellowship and with the body, that we receive some fellowship, we take the Lord's choice. That's always the best choice. You know, if we insist on getting our own choice, we will be like this 2.5 tribe. You know, their consequences toward the end is not very good, because they're the first one later that are captured away by the enemy. And also, their land and part of the records in the Bible are not counted as a good land. So our choice for ourselves, for our descendants, are very important. Learn not to insist on our own choice, but let's choose according to God's choice. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's now have the prophesying meetings in languages. So the saints from that speak Chinese, Spanish, and Korean, you can go on to your prophesying meeting. And saints here, please exercise to share your portion, what you enjoyed this week, whether from reading the material or from the training. Feel free to share what you have received from the Lord. Amen.